I had a fantastic trip, as you can see. I'm going to actually share with you some of my favorite people we met there. We had a lot of fun. But first, I want to share with you my favorite phrase. Are you ready to learn a Spanish phrase? Okay. Yeah, you guys seem very unexcited. Are you excited to learn the Spanish phrase? Okay. 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 Billy, you have any guesses what my favorite phrase is from El Salvador? I know very little Spanish, but I learned this phrase, which means very cool, very good, very okay. I think it's only a thing that gringos really say, which is what they would call me. They call me a grande gringo there. And I sounded it out, if you don't know. So it's que chivo, que chivo. And you go, que chivo, right? The thumbs up. You got it? You got to get the thumbs up. You guys want to try it with me? So you go, que chivo. Let's try it one more time. One, two, three. Que chivo. So I'm about to give you something, and when you take this delicious sucker and put that in your mouth, you go, que chivo. Okay, very good. Cool? This, I said this a lot, even though it didn't always make sense, because I knew it. It was a phrase I knew. The other thing I loved there is they had lots of tasty candy, and so I brought you some suckers that are fantastic. So you want to grab a sucker on your way back. Miss Lisa here has them. Grab a sucker, take it back, and if you have any friends that you're sitting with who might want a sucker, bring it back to them as well. Cool? Thanks, guys, for watching with me. Que chivo. Lisa, Greg cannot have the rest of those. Don't let him take them all home. I could see it happening. I could see it. Okay. Oh, yeah, bud. Make sure you get one of those. Yeah, you do. All right. Everyone got their suckers? Que chivo. Que chivo. Friends, I'm excited to share with you a little bit more even this morning. We had a fantastic week. We got back last week like at 1:30 in the morning, so we didn't have time to make a video or to be awake enough to share, but I'm excited now to share with you a little bit. And it actually fits right into our series that we're in this summer. We're in a series called Wisdom and Songs, Gospel Mixtape, and we're looking at wisdom literature, the Psalms. I think next week we're going to look at Ecclesiastes and Job, all sorts of things. So as an opportunity just to look at those and have them point us to Jesus as if we made a mixtape that was all about songs that point us to one thing. And these are all wisdom literature. A lot of them are from the Psalms. They are songs that point us to Jesus. So I'm excited this week. Our mixtape is a little Salvador mix in Psalm 2. There's a psalm I actually got the opportunity to talk a little bit with one of the pastors there about. He referenced lots of awesome passages, but this is something we talked about, and I'm excited how well it fits in here. So first of all, I just want to introduce you to a little bit of El Salvador. I don't know how much you know about it. A little bit of the history, maybe the hard history, and also the really sweet things that God has been doing there, and also just see how beautiful this place is. So let's go on a little journey here together. Our group headed out, and we got to spend lots of time in these markets, these mercados, which we'll get to later why we were in those so much, but we got to spend lots of time there. It was very warm and sunny, walking around together. We got to put a lot of steps on as we headed throughout the city, and then we also got the opportunity to drive out of San Salvador, the main city we were in, to another city, to Santa Ana, and in the process, we got to go to see a volcano. There's 13, I think, volcanoes in El Salvador. And we got to see some of the beautiful parts of the country, which are breathtaking. This on the right here is the top of the volcano. As the clouds moved, we finally got a picture of it. And then this is this beautiful lake that we got to stop and take a peek at as well. It's just breathtaking. Places, and these are the people. This is my favorite parts of the trip, are the people typically, and so these are the wonderful hopesters that went. It looks like we coordinated, like mom called us and said everyone wears shades of blue, but we didn't. We just like blue, I guess. But this, if you don't know, this is Ben and Sadie and Billy and Drew and Dan, who got to go with the church from Premier Iglesia here in town with Pastor Renee, which many of you have met, and we've got to do work with. And this one of the great joys of this trip is that the five of us and the group of them got to come together from Columbia Heights and then go to El Salvador. We actually went separately. It took them 2 days and us one. But thankfully, we all met there and got to minister together there which was really, really fantastic. So love these people. There's some other people we just fell in love with as we got there. These are some of the people there in local in town, and some actually from here, Columbia Heights, that met us there as we got to spend our time hanging out. If you notice the top right picture, we're holding up James, who is Pastor Renee's son, who broke his leg one of the last days we were there, which is always an exciting part of a trip. Someone's got to break a leg, I guess. But he is doing well. And so we got to meet also with some teachers at a school and local pastors, and then just have a fantastic time. I wanted to introduce you, though, to three of the people. There's so many people I could introduce you to, but I want to introduce you to three because they very much embody, I think, what our Psalm 2 passage is about. And even the way they spoke about their faith and what God has been doing in their lives and around them has really encouraged me, and I'm hoping today it will help encourage you too. First person I want to introduce you to is Miguel. Miguel is the one you saw in the video singing the songs. Miguel is one of the primary people that we went to visit and connect to. He's one of the ones we wanted to do ministry with because Miguel spends his time essentially kind of as a missionary there. And what he does is every day he goes to these daycare schools that are connected to the mercados, the markets. And so before, kids would come and work with their parents at the market, even when they're very little, or they just run around and cause trouble in the market. And so the government there set up these daycares or schools so that these are right next door to the market. So the markets are these huge buildings that have tons of little shops in them. And so the kids during the day have a place they can learn and grow, and their hopes are that as they're educated, it'll also help the whole economy, the whole community as they're educated. And so these are places that Miguel thought, what an opportunity to go in, love these kids, care for them, and essentially share the gospel and the love of Christ with them, and he does. Every day he goes to a couple different ones and shares songs with them. We got to see the result of that. They just love him and know every song and every word. He teaches them all sorts of great things and values of what it looks like to be in a healthy home and family and life. He spends his week teaching and singing and sharing the love of Christ. Then he also spends his Saturdays then teaching teachers or Sunday school teachers, so that churches can also be equipped to best teach and care for their kids. This guy really, really loves Jesus. Miguel knows as much English as I know Spanish, which is very, very little. And so we got to talk through, thankfully, through phones that could translate. And amazing, even in that, how powerful it was to hear how much he loves Jesus and just so wants these kids to know him. In fact, I remember the phrase he said, "I want these kids to find a home in Jesus and the church," which is like, just how do you do this every day, Miguel? It's so hot and it's so tiring and it just feels just like you doing this. And he says, "I want these kids so much to find a home in Jesus," which is really encouraging. And so we get to essentially just join him and watch what God was doing with him. The second person I want to introduce you to is Virginia Vahania, who is now kind of his assistant, is helping him. She is essentially the mom kind of to our group. She became a mama to us, whether or not we wanted it. She mommed us. She's fantastic as well. She, in her years in El Salvador, has shared many stories and was able to just kind of exude the faithfulness that she has in believing that God is still with them and loving them and that God's moving. She assists Miguel in his ministry. She's learning herself so he can kind of multiply his ministry and have more helping in these schools, these daycares. Her many years of faithfulness was a great encouragement to me. And like a good mom, she shared truth and grace with us and just showed us this holding on to Jesus through all things will get us through. Virginia has experienced some of the very hard things everyone has in El Salvador, but she has seen so much in her years there of the country being very unstable to the point in the 90s as the country was really run by gangs and it became very violent. El Salvador became the most dangerous country in the world at one point to live in. And just recently, in the last 5-6 years, those things have changed as they've gotten some of those things under control. We met people and she shared stories of how there's times where you couldn't leave your neighborhood for like years. Renee has shared stories, Pastor Renee, of there were seasons where he couldn't visit his mom in the next town over because a different gang ruled that town and so you weren't allowed to leave. It was It was that dangerous in there. And so recently, because there's peace there, in some sense, at least now, people have this great sense of like, God is still with us. He's still been faithful. Even in that really hard time, he was with us. And even now he's with us. And so it was really encouraging to see someone who's lived through things that I can't imagine and hold on to that faithfulness. Lastly, I just want to introduce you to one more. This is Reuben, and this is his church. The Breezes of Eden, this beautiful place. We got to go and sing with them. Thankfully, they sang great old classics like 90s worship, 2000s worship songs that I knew the tunes so I could sing. We could all sing. And then they asked Pastor Renee and I to share a few things, and we got to pray with them, and they prayed for us. Reuben was with us the whole time. Reuben is a pastor of this church, but like most pastors there, there isn't enough income for him to just be the pastor. So he's also an Uber driver, and he was actually our driver for the whole week. So he faithfully stayed with us all week, drove the van anytime we needed it, participated with us. His daughter actually was with us as well, who is learning to be an ESL teacher. And he was a great encouragement to me. We had a night where we got to really share a lot, again, through a phone, translating and learn that we're about the same age. We've been married about the same time. We have kids that are similar age. All these things that we felt like, oh, really connected. We're both pastors. We've been through some of the same things in ministry. It was very fun to feel like I have a brother there. And at the end of our conversation, he says, we're leaving. And he gave me a hug. And then he said, twins? Twins? I was like, yeah, twins. I don't know Spanish for twins, but I know that's right. That was good English. And so we were twins all week, which I really, just to have that, to feel like you have a brother, a sister, a family in another place I never knew was there, was really, really encouraging. He grew up himself in this church, became their youth pastor, and is now their lead pastor. His family's in this church. He has just great stories of God's faithfulness in a church that was surrounded. He said, on the streets walking to church, you would see violence all the time. And it was scary, but we had a place we could come together and worship God who was still faithful to us. And he would say, he said, I asked him, like, how do you get through that? How do you get through knowing that it's that unsettling and chaotic and scary even outside your doors all the time, day after day? What do you do? And he said, we just knew we served a different king, and that our king was good, and he loved us, and that he was with us. That God's faithful to us no matter what happened, which is a great, great encouragement. And we learned that as well on the trip, I think. Just God's faithfulness to us. Reminded of that. We were reminded of this great love of Christ that's moving through people in El Salvador, really everywhere, right? But it's one of those opportunities to go somewhere and go, wow, God is doing stuff here. And actually very similar stuff that we get to do by us. I'm sitting with kids, a church that partners in order to care for kids in schools. And they say, do you guys ever get to do this? And I'd say, actually, yeah, we're very similar. We're twins. In Columbia Heights, in Minnesota, we also get to care for kids and partner with our local school. It's a very cool opportunity. It's really sweet to see how God brought us together. And that in all of that, God, the King of Kings, is all of our King. And it was really, really cool and good news for us. It was Kay Chivo. It was Kay Chivo for sure. I was very encouraged by that understanding of that, the understanding of a people who say he's faithful to us. How is he been faithful to you, and get to share those stories? And so I wanted to walk us through just Psalm 2 here quickly this morning. As a reminder of that, Psalm 2 can feel a little intense, and it actually has been a great comfort to me as I've been reading through it and got to talk about it with Pastor Reuben. So I want to share that with you and just remind us of the things essentially we were reminded of in El Salvador in Psalm 2. So if you have a Bible, you want to crack it open, we're just going to walk through Psalm 2 here pretty quick and be reminded of this good news and how this, as in all of our tracks on our mixtape this summer, point us to Jesus. I'm going to read the whole thing to us, and then we're just going to walk through it. This is Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I'll proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son today, and I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron, and you will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he'll be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction, and his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. All right, let's just start in the beginning here. This is a psalm that is written to remind us, I think, specifically here, it seems like the kings or the rulers of earth, who the real king is. And so it starts, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord. It's this phrase, actually, this passage is quoted in the New Testament, actually a few times. And this idea, right, that there are people who rule and their rule is not that of God's, or they're not even recognizing that God actually is king or creator. There's this rebellion against God. It's this feeling that they just can't wait to have the power or the approval or the control. It's a lot like Simba sings in The Lion King. Remember this song? This song was always so cute. And then I started thinking about it with Psalm 2, and I thought, oh no, Simba, you're a sinner just like me. He sings, though, why would you want to be a king? Well, he sings it. I just can't wait to be a king, right? I'm going to be a mighty king, so enemies beware. I'm going to be powerful. I'm going to be able to take out the enemies. I'm going to be the main event. See how main spelled? Pretty funny there. Like no king has ever been before. I'm going to be the ultimate king. I'm brushing up on looking down. I'm working on my roar. I love that I'm brushing up on looking down. It's part of being king is that I love that I get to look down on people. I get to be the one in charge. I get to be the top dog. I'm working on my roar. There's a power there. Oh, I just can't wait to be king. As a kid here, he's singing this song, right? I can't wait, thinking this is what a king gets to be. No one's saying do this. No one's saying be there. No one's saying stop that. No one's saying see here. Free to run around all day. Free to do all my way. Ultimately, right, that's it. I want to be king. They wanted to be kings, as the psalm is saying, because I want to be in charge. It's the same thing. It's happening in a heart that we see in Genesis 3, right? That we keep seeing throughout all of Scripture. I think I know best. I don't think I need this God, this king. I got this. And I think if I do that, I get to say what to do. No one else gets to tell me what to do. I get to be free to run around all day. That's definitely how I felt as a kid, right? That same feeling. I can't wait till I'm an adult where all day I have freedom to do whatever I want, right? Not true. Free to do all my way. But at the heart of it, right, we're kids who want to be in charge. And so Psalm 2 is reminding us, hey, kings and rulers, the same thing's happening in them as it happens in us. I want to be in charge. I want to do these things, not knowing that it actually doesn't bring freedom. It actually doesn't allow me to do whatever I want. I don't actually get looked up to. There's all these things that I hope for in approval or comfort, power, or maybe just security that I think if I'm in charge, if I get to do it my way, if I don't fall under the rule of the King of Kings, the mighty King who created all, I think I actually get whatever I want, and we don't. And it goes on to remind us that the one, capital O, enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. It feels very parental in that he goes, oh, that's cute. I know you think you can do whatever you want and you can say whatever you want and everyone's going to look up to you and you're going to be the big dog. It doesn't actually work that way. And in fact, I'm the king. Now you're not just saying you want to be in charge, but now you're saying that I'm not the king. This is what we're saying to God in that. I'm not the creator. And so he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath. So he's saying, you be careful what you're saying. Because also this is treason against God, and that's sin. And what comes from that is wrath, and essentially death comes from that. And he says, I've installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Instead saying, and it's not you. I have installed my king, and it's not you. There is a king, but it's not you. I'll proclaim the Lord's decree. He said, you are my son. Today I have become your father. The Lord now has installed his king, and he says to his king, you are my son. Today I have become your father. His son has become the king. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. And son, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you the earth. It's yours. All to the end, all the ends of it, everywhere and everybody in it is yours. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. This can be a jarring passage in that. So God then says, you're not actually the kings. I have appointed my king, my son, who will have authority over everything and can, will break those. The wrath of God will come to those, and they'll break apart like pottery. I think it might be more helpful to even understand the saying, that's how different these kings are. One has the power to do this, and one has really little power. It reminds me, it makes me think, often I think of myself, as it sets these apart, I think of myself, I think, as a lot more powerful, a lot more loved and approved of, a lot more worthy to look down on others. And so I see myself as a king or a queen, you know, like on my throne, like, hey, how dare you? Not realizing the reality. I think here this language in Psalm 2 is reminding us there is one who is put on his throne, who is called the Son of God, who has authority over all things and all the earth and can break it all into pieces, has this great power over it. So I think of myself as one of these, right? This last one's the album cover, The Throne by Jay-Z and Kanye, and they specifically made this album and called it The Throne because they saw themselves as the greatest of all time, right? The goats of hip-hop and music. And I think actually we find ourselves maybe, this passage, Psalm 2, reminds us that, okay, maybe we're not that. Maybe we're Simbas wishing we could be in charge, forgetting that there actually is one who's been put on the throne, who has power and authority over all things and could do all things. And there should be some fear in that, in a good way, in that this respect, this honor to go, whoa, you are powerful and holy. And there should be this great love in that of like, wow. And we know, right, on this side of the cross, we know now that is a God who's willing to come and not just rule over us and threaten us with a rod, but say, hey, I want you in my family, in my kingdom. I just want you in the right place in the role that I've created for you. And that's enjoying your sweet baby throne. It's enjoying your sweet life that I've given you as your father, not you trying to crawl up into the big throne and take charge, because that is going to bring destruction to yourself. And that's how this psalm ends. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. He says, this end of the story isn't you rebelled and turned against God, and so now his rod of iron comes down and breaks you into pottery. Actually, there's grace here. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Now, there's that option, but there's also this other option. Serve the Lord with fear. Celebrate his ruling with trembling. Wow, you are holy and powerful, but so good to us. Kiss his son and he'll be angry and your way will lead to your destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. It sounds very much like the beginning of Romans, where God essentially lets us off our leash to run after the things that we desire, which actually bring us death. And then it ends in this great way. I think this is such a wonderful picture of this king that we have. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Kings, you could run off and rage and become your own kings and think that you actually rule and destruction will come, or you can fall under the rule of the good, good, gracious king who says, come, I won't destroy you and break you into pieces like pottery, but instead I will bring you in as king and as your God, and I will bless you if you take refuge in me. And so we have this option of taking refuge in him or taking refuge in ourselves. And so we have a king who calls to us, blessed are those who take refuge in him. And who is this him? Well, it won't be a surprise here at Hope, but the him is Jesus. And actually, this is a great psalm because this psalm is actually quoted throughout Scripture and in the book of Acts a few times, where the Scripture itself actually tells us who the hymn is in this passage. Now, Psalm 2 is probably originally like that passage was connected to King David, but ultimately the greater, better, ultimate king is Jesus. And I don't have to just guess on that. It actually shows us. And this is just me in my Bible. There's little numbers or letters next to it. And this, all I did was look at those. And then it says, oh, look in the book of Acts. And so I want to share a couple of passages where they actually quote Psalm 2, and they remind us of who that good king is. You spoke by the Holy Spirit. This is Peter and Paul who are in prayer, and this is the prayer they give right after they had been arrested, and the religious leaders were like, stop talking about Jesus. And they said, that's like the one thing we do. And they had said, oh, you're like ordinary, uneducated people who had been with Jesus. It's that great passage. And they go back to the church, and they say, hey, they say we can't keep talking about Jesus. And so then this is their prayer. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. They're quoting now Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. They're saying, hey, Psalm 2, remember way back Psalm 2 was written? It talked about these nations will rage against. We're seeing that happen right now in our city where these religious leaders raged against Jesus, who is Lord. And they're saying, and we know that all of that was in your plan. They thought they were taking control. They thought that they got to be king. They thought they got to do what they wanted to do. And we know that all of that was in your plan to rescue your people. And so Psalm 2, directly for them, is connected. Scripture is now interpreting Scripture and saying, Jesus is the one. He's this great king. And then later in Acts 13, Paul is talking to the church in Antioch and he says, we tell you the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have become your father. So Paul's talking to that church and he says, hey, way back we were given this promise that there'd be this king who would come called the Son of God who would rule all things, and he's come. It's happened. He's telling the church, the one that we read about in Psalm 2, that's Jesus. That's him. And then in Hebrews, we hear the same things in Hebrews 1 and 5, as well as some other places, but he talks about the same passage reminding us that Jesus is the Son of God. He's superior to angels, is first what he references. So he became as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I've become your father? The author of Hebrews is saying, Jesus is even better than the angels. We know that. Because in Psalm 2 it says, you're my son. So here, the author of Hebrews is reminding us, Jesus is that son. He is that king. And then in Psalm 5, Jesus is given honor by the Father. Using the same passage, the Hebrews author really likes Psalm 2. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming the high priest, but God said to him, you are my son, today I've become your father. He's saying Jesus is superior to angels, and God, the Father, has crowned him as king. And the one that's really been encouraging to me is reading through the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the end of Matthew. It's Jesus' kind of last words before he ascends to heaven after he's risen from the dead. And he gives this command, which we often use right as our mission, the Great Commission of the church, that we go and make disciples. Listen to the Great Commission, though, after reading Psalm 2. Here's another one. Then Jesus came to them, and this is Jesus now saying. So Jesus standing in front of his disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That sounds familiar. Therefore, go and make disciples, followers of me, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This feels like a proclamation of a king. I'm the one that God has called his son and has now given authority of all things. And what does he want them to do? He wants them to turn to him. Go and tell people there is a good king. A king who didn't come and just get angry and rage out and break people apart like pottery. He could have, but instead he came and actually gave his own life so that this king could rescue his people and call them into his kingdom. He says, people need to know this. And King Jesus is with you in this. You now get to march with him and tell this great news that there's actually a king whose motives are not selfish at all. He's here to raise up his people and rescue them. This is such great news. The Great Commission is Jesus affirming Psalm 2 and many other places in Scripture and saying we get to now join that king and be part of that. Let me quote our friend here. I found this great old like screenshot from an old video. Isn't this awesome? I was just excited to share that with you. In Psalm 2, this is his interpretation of Psalm 2. We need to remember that no matter what is going on around us, God is still in control. No plot can prevent the fulfillment of his will. Herod and Pilate saw that demonstrated as the one they had killed rose from the grave and is alive forever. One day all others who oppose the Lord will see his victory and realize that their opposition was futile. Psalm 2 reminds us that there is opposition and it's so futile to a good king who has control over all things, and that to be blessed, to be loved, to be comforted, to find hope, to find peace, to find life, to find our purpose, all of that blessing is in him, is in taking refuge, hiding in him, in that king, and not in ourselves. Here's other translations of this I love. The end of this psalm is instead of following, being your own king, follow this king. But what joy for all who take refuge in him. Blessed are all that have put their trust in him. But if you make a run for God, you won't regret it. That's Eugene Peterson's. I love it. And then in Spanish, which I will not destroy. You can think about it in your head. I love it. It's beautiful, right? Blessed are those who put trust in him. We don't have to put trust in ourselves. And that's the big question here I want us to ask as we end our time. Is blessed are all who take refuge in. What else are we taking refuge in? If Psalm 2 is true, if Acts is true, if the Great Commission is true, if Jesus is the king, the good king who's called God's son, who has authority over all things, who's powerful that we should fear, who's holy that we should fear, who's gracious and loving that we can embrace, if this is where true blessing comes from, why do we put things in our trust in other things? Whether ourselves, I want to be king, I want the freedom, I want the approval, I want the riches, or maybe others. We might put our refuge in others, right? In a season that is ramping up, and I don't know what it'll be like the next 4 months in an election season, this so much is what happens in our hearts, is that we put someone else's name in that place, is that we find refuge or glory or hope in a different person. Or maybe just a person we like to watch on our phones, or maybe just a person that's in our home. This person can ultimately bring me hope. And I think usually it's just myself. And so what does it look like for us to look to him who can do all things and who has rescued us and who is such a good king? The king I really want, the king I could never be. And I want to belong to that kingdom. And so I'm going to invite the band up. We're going to finish by singing some songs together and remind ourselves of this good king and just worship him. And just remember, I'm so thankful for my Salvadorian family that I got to meet. And I think they're right. Jesus is very faithful. Through the hardest of things, he's still faithful. King Jesus is so loving and caring, is still with us. The stories of redemption I got to hear about, of people's lives changed, a loving king who came to them, and he's still on his throne and will always be on his throne is such good news. A couple things for us to consider here as we move into a time of response. Just to continue thinking about what is the mixtape playing in your head and your heart. Is it a mixtape that glorifies the king, that says true things about God as king? Or is it maybe a mixtape that continues to tell you, you got to be king. It's going to be the best. There's true freedom in you being in charge. Do you know that we have a good king that you can take refuge in? Who else sits on the throne in your life? And who do you know who needs to know that there's a good king? What good news that can be to someone who's putting their hope in a different
King.
A few ways we love to respond here at Hope. We love to take communion together. That's an opportunity for us that Jesus called us to. He said, when you get together, take communion, break the bread, drink the wine. It reminds you that my body was broken, that I came. As even a king, I stepped down from the throne and was willing to put myself on a cross and be broken so that you could have life. And communion does that. It reminds us of our good King and the work that he has done to battle death and sin. We also love to sing these words to remind ourselves and our neighbors who God is. There's people who'd love to pray for you in the back of the room. They have yellow lanyards on. Please take them up on that. They'd love to pray with you and for you for anything you need, or even just ask, just say, I just need prayer, and they'd love to pray. And we always can give in response out of just glad hearts to continue the ministry here at Hope. Let me pray for us, and we will continue to worship. Lord, thank you that you are a good King, that it is true that we are blessed by taking refuge in you. I pray today our hearts would be moved, would come alive, that we would move towards you knowing that is where real rest is and peace and joy, that true refuge is in you, our good King. I pray that we could do that now. I pray you to help root out all the things that we put in your place, that we try to put on your throne that aren't yours, that aren't you. I pray you'd show us those so we could turn away from those and put them in their right place. I love you, Lord. Thank you for these people in this place that we get to worship. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters who right now this morning are worshiping you in San Salvador and around the world. That they too get to hold on to you, and that you are a good King to all of us. Amen.